Identity theft robs federal agencies in two ways. First, as many have found in recent years, the data they hold on citizens, and especially those who apply for benefits, is an attractive target for hackers looking to steal and resell identities. Second, agencies lose when they pay benefits to people who filed or applied using a stolen or made-up identity. I recently caught up with LexisNexis CEO Haywood Talkov and asked him, what are agencies doing wrong?
I think there's three things. The first is recognizing they have a problem. The second is understanding the impact on citizens. And then the third is taking advantage of new tools. So understanding they have a problem. It's really hard to identify identity theft. It's really hard to identify fraud. And what happens is I think these agencies get very focused on delivering services to the citizens and making sure they get those services in a timely fashion. What they have to do is take some time to take a look at their processes to make sure that the identities that are being used are real, that the addresses that people are giving them are real. They have to do a better job. The second part of it is understanding the impact on citizens. We're here at a fraud conference in Las Vegas, and we heard yesterday from an individual for the past 20 years whose life has been tormented because his identity was stolen. He had felony arrest warrants. He couldn't get a cell phone. He couldn't rent an apartment. He couldn't live his life. And one of the things that I would ask is those people in responsibility in government to think about that person. Because at the end of the day, when someone takes an identity and they use it inappropriately, it goes back to an individual, and that individual's life is significantly disrupted. And then the third part is these new tools and technologies. We are in the age of big data and analytics. This is it. And it's very easy to solve these problems when you bring the information together, you take down the silos, and you find anomalies and patterns. There's nothing wrong to admit that you have a problem. Right? And the bureaucracy and the administration and the leaders in government need to start using these tools to ferret out this fraud so these programs can have more integrity.
CMS has been working on this for some time now. They have big data analytics, and they've really had mixed results. And it took a couple of years for that program to even begin to produce results. So what do they do wrong sometimes in deploying all of these sophisticated tools, technologies, so that they can get results faster?
So I don't think they've done anything wrong. In fact, I think they deserve a lot of credit for trying. And like everything, it's an iterative process, right? The challenge that every agency faces, whether it's CMS, the IRS, a Department of Revenue in a state, is you have to bring together disparate sources of information, and you run into these barriers that are created because of legislation, because of policy, around privacy, around data sharing, around all sorts of things that impact your ability to find the fraud. The other issue is these criminals are sophisticated. And just when you stop one thing, they figure out something else. So, you know, you think about it. We believe right now there's probably over $100 billion worth of fraud taking place in government. We believe right now that 60 to 70% of that is occurring out of country. It's done by fraudsters that don't even live in the U.S. They have very little chance of getting prosecuted. In fact, we heard from an attorney general who said, I just don't have the resources to prosecute it. And every time you put up a barrier, they create and figure out how to get past that and get money some other way. So very sophisticated, very hard for these agencies to combat this.
So that implies that simply acquiring a tool and installing it is not the effort you need. That's only the beginning.
That's right. And don't forget, what is their primary purpose? CMS's primary purpose in life isn't to go ahead and stop fraud. It's to deliver a service to individuals that need it. And they spend an incredible amount of money, an incredible amount of effort to make sure they're doing a great job in that. On the other hand, what they have to do is put some resources aside, bring in some really smart people from different disciplines, including academic, big data, and analytics, and figure out how to get these processes in place, because it can be stopped and it has to be stopped.
From your perspective, what are some of the policy changes and maybe legislative changes needed to enable agencies to get better at all this?
So I think there's two areas. One is around data sharing, and then second is the ability to make a mistake. So data sharing. The way to stop fraud is to break down the silos of information, get information from the IRS, get information from CMS, get information from the Small Business Administration, tie it all together, do your patent analysis and find the anomalies. And data sharing ties into privacy issues, and unfortunately, that bogs down a lot of fraud detection. So in some ways, our help and belief in protecting privacy is preventing us from stopping fraud. It's allowing these organized criminal groups to take advantage of our democracy. The second area is in the area of legislation, right? Congress needs to go ahead and pass some legislation and put some metrics in place to demand that these programs are better administered, right? And by doing that, some of the privacy issues, some of the data sharing issues will become less important.
And government has only so much information about people, and you mentioned that it might be in different agencies that could share it better. But externally, like what LexisNexis have, give us a sense of what other information is out there that could be applied to detecting identity fraud.
Well, you know, first of all, the problem is solved by having as much data as you can. Like, you can't have enough data. So things like, for example, license plate reader information, things, for example, about knowing where somebody lives. If you think about what the government has, and part of the problem that allows the perpetration of fraud is it's all self-reported information. It's information that the fraudster put into the system, whether he or she is trying to get a loan from the education department or trying to get a tax refund or trying to get a benefit from CMS. You need a way to triangulate that information. You know, one of the stories that I always talk about is when we were starting to do fraud investigation at Lexis, and we were meeting with the state. I won't say the name of the state. And we did some analysis, and we said, you realize you're sending refunds to a vacant lot. There's no one that lives there. There's no structure there. And I remember it was the number two, the deputy commissioner for the state. That's impossible. We all hopped in the car, and then what happened was we drove there. And guess what? It was a vacant lot. And the state didn't know that because they didn't have a comprehensive list of addresses and locations. Right? It's simple things like that. So getting as much data as you can, bringing it into the mix, using the new tools that are out there for big data and analytics, it will find it. You'll see the anomalies immediately.
In fact, that even brings in the possibility of using census data for purposes I don't think the federal government has ever used it for.
That's right. And that gets back to the sharing piece, right? It's a different purpose, and you have to go through so many hoops and obstacles. And at the same time, these agencies are out there trying to do a great job at delivering services. They're understaffed, they're under-resourced, and they're trying to meet citizens' demands, right? And when in the scheme of things, fraud may only be 3 to 5% in an agency, but in total, it's hundreds of billions of dollars, but they got to get their programs done first. They need more resources, they need more expertise, they need to stop this.
And just a detailed question, the OPM breach, which is still resonating. One of the things that they've noticed, that the intelligence agencies have noticed, is that that data has not appeared in the dark web, where a lot of this stuff does end up for sale. And can we infer anything from that?
Yeah. So, you know, we always start with the point of view that your information's already been stolen. 685 million pieces of PII have been stolen over the last 36 months. The OPM breach was very unique and in some ways was a direct assault on our national security. The fraud that took place there was perpetrated potentially by a nation state, and they now have a list of every single person in this country who has had a security clearance. Not only do they have the list, they have all the information on the SF-86. Not only do they have that information, they have their fingerprints, and in some cases they have information regarding results of polygraphs. That was not stolen to perpetrate fraud. That was stolen to perpetrate and harm national security. And in some ways, you know, the government needs to do more. Unfortunately, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube now. And I think the government offered, 5 or 7 years worth of credit monitoring. That's not the problem. These people's lives are potentially at risk. Their friends, their relatives, their associates that were all on that SF-86 now are subject to phishing attacks, they're subject to blackmail, they're subject to a whole bunch of things that they should have never potentially been subject to.
That one is not a financial fraud that was perpetrated, and we'll probably never know exactly precisely what can be attributed to OPM. Most of the fraud, though, for ID theft has a financial motivation, and so they get money. Are they buying cars and yachts? What is the money used for?
I'm really glad you asked that question. And I think every executive in government, every elected official needs to ask themselves, where is that money going? So it's going to a couple of places, right? One, it's going to commit terrorism, right? 60 to 70% of the fraud that's being perpetrated by these organized criminal groups, they're not located in our country, right? They're using that money to buy drugs. They're using that money to do child trafficking. They're using that money to harm our democracy. And so when you hear an agency say, for example, the IRS, that they lost $5.8 billion, as a taxpayer, we should be outraged about that. As a citizen of this country that is concerned about national security, we should be very scared. That money is not being used, for the most part, to go buy cars. It's being used to, it's getting laundered for other things that are then being used to harm our national security.
LexisNexis CEO Haywood Talkove. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click share with friends.